Good morning, 8:38 a.m. Tuesday, November the 10th, 2015. 800 whole words yesterday. I don't even know where the day went. It was one of those, oh, and then it was time for bed. I spent a lot of time not writing clearly, obviously. I spent a lot of time staring at the document, not writing. I spent a lot of time fiddling about in different places, not writing. I need to do better today. I have a couple of opportunities today in terms of people leaving the house for extended periods of time. A chance for me to sort of get immersed in the story without fear of interruption. And Thursday, everybody's clearing out and going down to Denver. So I'll have almost 24 hours uninterrupted where I think I'm going to write. I think I'm going to take advantage of that and stock up on low impact food in terms of preparation, stuff I could just grab and eat and go back to the keyboard. Part of it is I've set the stage and I don't know what the play is. I'm in a little bit of trouble finding the thread. And what I need to do is what I said yesterday, which is stop trying to find a thread and start writing, and then pick the thread out afterwards. Yesterday I failed at that somewhat spectacularly, given that I really only needed 1 hour of good work, and I could have got my NaNoWriMo minimum yesterday. But by the time I got to the point where I could sit down and work and actually look at the documents and work, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I couldn't stay awake. So we do what we do, we punt on the rest. The goal for the day is to not worry about what happened yesterday, not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, but to deal with the next 5 minutes in front of me in a kind of rolling window. Deal with the now. See if I can find some flow. I had breakfast this morning. The kid, when she got up, she wanted peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I made her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I made my oatmeal. So I've had breakfast this morning. I don't have anything I need to do when I get home. The daily morning chores are pretty much taken care of. I've got a chicken that I can roast for dinner. I'm slowly trying to get myself centered again. Good morning. It's a cold morning. It's 35 degrees, 34, 35 degrees. Sun is out, and I'm probably going to have to unzip this coat because it is cold, but I am building up a lot of body heat. So, I don't know. I don't have a lot to talk about today. The one thing that crossed my desk yesterday was that set me off was a post about how necessary curation is, that readers require curation. And it was written by somebody with a vested interest in screening out undesirable voices. Those being any voices that aren't being published by that person's company, basically. Trying to sell the idea that it's just impossible for the poor readers to be able to meaningfully sift through the piles and piles of garbage that are being inflicted on them by the market. And that sort of elitist bullshit just sets me off. So I probably spent way too much time reading, thinking about, writing about, commenting on that particular pile of crap. Way more than I should have. It's like, are you serious? You have got to be kidding. And then the old story about how Amazon is doing this curation by pushing indies out by only rewarding those who perform, and by the use of their algorithms. And the reality is that Amazon does curate. There isn't any question that Amazon curates, but they don't include the aspect of curation that seems to be the most common coming from publishers and their mouthpieces, which is selection and acquisition. The idea that they screen out the crap so that we only see the best. And that's not Amazon. Amazon lets anybody publish anything they want within some very broad legal or very narrow legal issues. They're a little bit finicky about child pornography, since that's illegal in most of the world. They're a little bit finicky about some other stuff that gets them in legal trouble with various governments. But by and large, if you write it and format it, you can upload it, you can publish it, you can put it on the shelf on Amazon. The same is not true for somebody pursuing traditional publishing, where they have to convince an agent who then has to convince an acquisitions editor who then has to convince a bookstore to put the book on a shelf. And the reality is only about 1 in 10,000 submissions makes it to a bookshelf. And even fewer numbers of those, like 1 in 10, actually earns out its advance. So for every book that makes it to the bookshelf in a bookstore through the trad pub mechanism, 9 of them never get another book. They're the authors are one-hit wonders. They got one book published, and that's all they'll ever do. 9 out of 10. And those 10 represent 10 out of 10,000 who have submitted to agents, and the agents have submitted to publishers. That's curation. That's the acquisition and selection process. It's not a question of choice. It's not a question of, well, we give you the best and you can pick from it. No, actually, you give us the stuff that you think you can sell. Monk post. And I suspect I'm preaching to the choir. But there was a reality here that gets lost in the discussion about curation. And it gets the sort of organization and presentation of a collection, which is really the base for curation, gets this little added sort of selection and acquisition function added to it. And sometimes that function doesn't really apply. And sometimes it's the key element of curation. So it's difficult to talk about a topic like curation in a way that makes any kind of sense until and unless you actually define which form of curation we're talking about. Amazon does in fact organize its collection. Amazon does in fact present its collection based on that organizational scheme. It's divided by genre. It's divided by subcat. It's divided by keyword. And they have algorithms that mechanically operate on the overall stream of books being sold to give weight to one title over another based on a set collection of criteria. So, for example, the most widely used one is popularity, but the best understood one is sales rank. So, bestseller rank. Popularity is different because it is weighted by price. Sales rank is, in its simplest concept, the number of sales per hour for all of the books in the list. The one that sells the most books in the previous hour, and according to whatever the evaluation is, because it's not just the last hour, it's in fact a rolling weighted average where recent sales count more than earlier sales. But the average window is something between 7 to 10 days, as near as anybody can tell. It's almost impossible to know for sure because it's almost impossible to backfill that equation that Amazon uses based on the limited information that we're allowed to have. So, but basically, and I don't think anybody argues, sales, the more sales, the higher your sales rank. It isn't anything that anybody is making a judgment call on. BBW Alpha Shifter Bear Fiction versus Wind in the Willows. Nobody's making any value judgments on those. Those are just, this is how many books this sold, this is how many books that sold. It's a rolling window, it's not in the last hour, but they do update hourly. And the tricky bits fall to what's considered a sale. So, for example, if I sell a book, good, that counts as a sale. If I have a borrow from the Kindle Lending Library, that's sort of a sale. And if I get page reads, that's also sort of a sale. The question of how much does a page read contribute to the bestseller rank? How much does a borrow? And apparently you can still borrow. They just notified me yesterday that because I'm a Prime member, I can borrow one book a month. Like, why? At any rate, so there's this sort of shadow and privilege. So in order to be borrowed, you have to enable, I think you have to be in select. And once you're in select, your book can be borrowed, and you also get credit for page reads, which are about half a penny a page. Or have been, and Amazon seems to be working really hard to keep it around a half a penny a page. And the question that everybody's wondering is how long will that last? But I digress. So, yeah, if you go all in, Amazon gives you a benefit. And so select with page borrows and the page reads and borrows is that privilege. It does kick a little bit extra in the cookie. In the kitty. A couple extra cookies in the kitty if you get big page reads. And so, yeah, they want exclusivity of content. The reality is they already have a de facto exclusivity because none of the other marketplaces are performing across the board as well as Amazon. Now, there are people who have been successful in those other markets. They are, even in their own works, not successful, all of them, across all of their works. There's been a book or two or a series or two or some sort of subset of their work that has taken off in, say, iBooks or in Kobo. There's even people who have been successful in Nook. People who are not mainstream published, which is really what Nook promotes most. So there's this perception that the algorithms push books down so they can't get noticed by promoting those books that are able to get noticed, which is true. It's not the only mechanism, though, and the popularity list is another one that is often misunderstood. It's basically the bestsellers list weighted by price. So two books that sell within a few units of each other over the weighted average period, whatever it might be, the one that costs more will be higher on the popularity list than the one that costs less. And the rationale is, if the book that costs more can still generate that level of sales, there's something going on that is not price sensitivity, is not price elasticity of demand. There's something else. And that something else Amazon is calling popularity. And when it first came out, I was like, okay. I'm a little bit cheesed that it's the first thing that people see when you start browsing categories. You see it in popularity list. You do not see the bestseller list unless you actually go to the bestseller list to see what sales ranks are within a particular category or list. So there's two ways to get noticed. And there are other ways. They also bought, if you can get your book bought by somebody who's popular and your book shows up in there, also bots, then the people who like that first author may find and at least sample your book. So there are a lot of mechanisms, not the least of which is all of the ways that people have to find an audience that don't rely on Amazon selling your book for you. And I guess I'm probably a little bit sensitive to that because that's exactly how Podiobooks work. Yeah, Podiobooks, you're in the catalog, and because there are so few books in the catalog and because there are so few new books added to the catalog every week, that just being in the catalog gives you some visibility. But if you really want to move a lot of Podiobooks, you have to find and grow and develop and foster your own audience, which is what I've always done. So yeah, a lot of it is luck. A lot of it is work. A lot of it is marketing. understanding what marketing is, understanding what sales and promotions are, all of that. It's an interesting world. But the idea that Amazon curates to push indies out on the basis of their algorithms just isn't one of the realities that I see operating in this marketplace. Anyway, I am back. Whew, I worked up a sweat. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.